He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a new week. Boy, we could use one. This is Monday, May the 2nd. Welcome to May. Should we go away? That's the adage in the market. We had a rough week. We had a roller coaster week last week. I'm glad just to see a little bit of calm here so far in the markets unsettled stomachs. So far, we've got the Dow's down 41. It's about, 32,941. And the reason I say that's calm, it was down almost 1,000 on Friday, okay? So this calm opening is a welcome bit of relief so far. Okay, the NASDAQ is about even right now. That's a good deal there. The NASDAQ had a horrible day on Friday with Amazon. Amazon pretty much was the catalyst to the downside for the markets. I thought Amazon was Teflon-coated. I thought Amazon was invincible. Well, not so. They lost money in the most recent quarter. S&P down a couple of points here, 4,129. The Russell 2000 small caps are up today, 0.5%. Oil down 368. This week we get an OPEC meeting. We get a Fed meeting on Wednesday. We get the jobs report on Friday. And a whole lot of companies reporting earnings this week, which we'll get to here during the show. Crude oil is at 101.01. Say that real fast. S&P 500, we already went through that. Where's gold? Gold right now is at down 55. You know, the dollar has been really strong lately. That continues to put pressure on gold, which is now at 18.56. Silver's down 91 cents. There's the 10-year. Okay, I just noticed this. Up 10 basis points, 299. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. You got your seatbelt fastened?
Good morning. Yeah, I was looking at the number of of course we got the Fed meeting on Tuesday and we'll get in Wednesday, and of course we'll get the news on what they're raising to on Wednesday. But we also have Australia this week. We've got the UK this week in terms of potential rate hikes and meetings. So lots of things to talk about in the bond, bond side of things. Another big week.
Oh boy, yeah. There's no rest. I mean, this is vacation time, isn't it? I've already placed my bet with the Las Vegas bookies for a 50 basis point hike on Wednesday, and probably one next month also. And in the meantime, we're going to have a lot of stuff going on this week. Now, last week, we had a down 700-point day. We had an up 700-point day. We had a down 800-point day. And we had a down 900-point day. Other than that, it was all calm on the Western Front. I called it the Dow Dipper. And, there were some good earnings reports. There were some bad earnings reports. Amazon was a disaster. But overall, the earnings season is going well, very well right now. So the old adage, sell in May and go away, well, I don't think that's necessary right now. I think, in fact, we probably have one of the better risk-to-reward ratios that we've seen in the market for quite some time. We certainly did not begin the year with a good risk-to-reward ratio. The forward PE started out the year at 23x, and we are now down to about 18x, so we've seen a huge contraction in the multiple. 55% of the companies are in the books right now, of the 500 S&P 500 companies, with their earnings. We'll get another 160 this week. So I think that's the biggest thing to fasten your seatbelt for, is those earnings. This will be a big week for the semiconductors, the AMDs, the NVIDIAs, et cetera. And, you know, the prospects actually look pretty good for those stocks. It would be nice to see some good earnings come out this week with the chips. During the show today, we will review where we're at right now in this first quarter earnings season. But Amazon, I read that Amazon will take about $2 if they continue on the course they're on. They'll take about $2 out of the earnings for the S&P 500. Or not as, yeah, the S&P 500 this year, Barry. That's
pretty significant.
That's a bite, man. Amazon was down 15.8% on Friday. That's a two-year low. And I would just say that, you know, they were helped greatly by the pandemic. They were in the garden spot during the pandemic when we could not go to the grocery store and whatnot, and everybody learned how to order online. Jersey Mike's, Amazon, Sam's Club, it didn't matter. You had to have it delivered to your door. And, you know, and I think Amazon, I think their costs have gone way up. I think they've become, look at all the Amazon vehicles you see. I mean, they got a lot of overhead now that they didn't used to have.
Well, I've seen some interesting things that I've never seen before. Like, we'll get a package, right, and Christina will, you know, send it, you know, okay, I want to return it. And they'll tell you, don't return it, we'll credit you, but just keep it.
Yeah,
which tells you that it's more
that
expensive
too.
To mail back. You know, it's happened twice in the last, you know, 3 weeks, and I've never seen it before. And it's like, I'm like, you know, what, it must, I mean, you know their costs are going up shipping-wise if they're just like, well, you just hang on to it.
Yeah.
We'll work it out.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm like, really?
Okay. We've had a couple things like that where they
yeah,
said, just keep it.
Like, just keep
I
it.
Almost feel like my garage is a shipping and receiving department these days. My wife kind of runs that part. And I see her returning a lot of stuff. That's, you know.
Oh, I break down the boxes. You know, that's my,
yeah,
that,
and
that's
then
my
she,
job is for
yeah,
the recycling side of it.
She hauls the boxes to the recycling center once a week. Okay, all eyes on the FOMC OPEC and jobs report this week. FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, fully expected at least 50 basis points. I think 75 could rattle the markets a little bit. The OPEC meeting on Thursday could be interesting. It looks like the European Union, especially Germany, ready to basically send Putin packing with his oil and gas pipeline. That's going to put upwards pressure. I don't see how that can't put upwards pressure on oil prices, because Germany is going to really have to scramble to find replacements, especially that natural gas and liquid natural gas. And I also read this week that our production in the U.S. is going the wrong way. Instead of our production increasing, it's decreasing. Well, we're glad to see April behind us. It was not a good month for the market. I think there were several things. I think the lockdown in China was a big had a big impact on the market last month. That lockdown continues today in Shanghai. I think this is week number 5. And they were getting ready to ease up. And apparently, this almost seems like they're playing games. That's just my perspective. The people in Shanghai are not happy. And they have not locked down Beijing yet. But they're kind of doing the same kind of thing that this whole Shanghai started with the really intense testing. You know, and they're setting up the centers for the isolation like they did in Shanghai. So, yeah, you know, and I think China's economy is hurting a little bit worse. Their stock market's not doing well. China did back off a little bit last week and said, you know, we're going to kind of leave our internet and tech stocks alone. But the damage has been done, not only to the credibility, but investors' confidence in the Alibabas and the and the you know, other great stocks out of China. I mean, I would I would not have the faith to go back into those stocks.
When you're killing pets, right? It's pretty alarming. Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't, you know, it kind of, some of the stuff that I read out of it just kind of blows my mind to a certain extent. But
okay, it's not good. And now when we come back, I kind of agree with this assessment by Morgan Stanley today, and I think I saw the market start to lift a little bit after this news came out at about 9:03, 27 minutes before the market opened. I can see this scenario working out, too. What is this scenario? Well, when we come back, what could a little good news do to the market this week? We need some good news. We need some calm. We need some peace. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market has improved a little bit here during the break. We pretty much have a little green across the board. Well, we're up 27 on the Dow. I'm seeing some hope there in the NASDAQ. I'm encouraged by the ETF SOX with an L. That's long. SOX L. That's the semiconductor index. And I think it's leveraged probably 3-1, but it's up 5% right now, which is the most encouraging. Roku's up 5.9, Teladoc's up 7.0, so that area of the market, a little more of the high-risk stuff, is starting to get a little bit of traction. I'll be watching those semiconductors very closely this week. I did not expect a good report from Intel last week. Intel still has a lot of catching up to do. But the two big ones will report this week, AMD and NVIDIA. Okay, I don't think there's a firm out there that is more bearish than Morgan Stanley. And they continue to be bearish, but they also say that any good news could ignite a vicious bear market rally. So first, I guess you have to ask yourself, are we currently in a bear market? Well, I would say it depends on what part of the market you're looking at. I think we're in a bear market in the bond market, in the bond funds. I think we're in a bear market for sure when, you know, that really high-tech innovation area of the market's down 70%. That's been in a bear market for a long, long time. And I suppose you could say that the NASDAQ, which is down more than 20%, I think it's off about 24% from its all-time high, is in a bear market. But I look around, you know, at the S&P 500, I look at the Dow. We're very close. Okay, the technical analysis, we are right there. I mean, this is kind of an important week. It's hard for me to imagine the market breaking down through that technical analysis there, those technical lines. And the reason I say that is that the earnings picture has remained the same. The song remains the same on the earnings picture. And so while the market has gone down, this is just mathematics, and the earnings have remained the same, and if anything, they've gone up a little bit, that has brought the forward P.E. ratio way down on the market. So the earnings picture still looks good. That's the fundamentals of the market. The technicals were right there at the bottom, and I see Morgan Stanley making the same comments, okay? They say that the market is currently so oversold, which I agree with, any good news could lead to a vicious bear market rally. Well, if you believe in that scenario, Barry, I see that there's a ARK Funds 2X ETF today.
That just came out. Yeah, TARK. I saw that thing too, right?
TARK. I wish it was inverse 2X, but yeah, I mean, TARK may be in for a little bit if you're into gambling and putting money down with your Las Vegas bookie, I guess TARC would be kind of in that category. So they say it's so oversold that any good news could lead to a vicious bear market rally. I agree with that.
Well, and I saw an interesting stat, too. You know, I was looking, obviously, end of the month, right? You get a lot of the year-to-date numbers. You know, I think the NASDAQ is down, I think, you know, like you said, 24 or so from peak to trough. And then, you know, for the year, I think down about 21, a little over 21. I think the S&P was down roughly in that 13 range. But one interesting stat was the average S&P stock is actually down 21% as well. So if you think about it, right, and per on the average stock, not doing the, you know, not weighting it based on value, I mean, you know, we are kind of you know, in a bear market, which to me goes to that adage, that oversold adage that you were, you know, kind of speaking a good bit about last week. And then you know, of course, with this article with Morgan Stanley, I would agree.
And they're saying the same thing, that we're at the real bottom there of the technical levels on the market. And if you take the earnings for next year, the estimates are $250 for the S&P 500, and we're currently at 41.40 on the S&P. That puts the forward multiple for next year at 16.6, and you consider we started the year at 23. That just seems to me that we're really in oversold territory here. Now, having said that, I mean, the other side of that equation is, and I talked about it in the newsletter, if we should break our technical support here, I don't foresee that, but anything is possible. You can't rule out anything. I think the biggest, you know, thing would be a black swan event out of Russia or something like that. You know, you'd have to go back to the inverse funds, and you could have more downside risk. But from a fundamental point of view, this is the best the market has looked. I was very negative on the market at the beginning of the year because of how richly priced it was. And now it's gotten a lot cheaper. Okay, oil. We got to talk about that. It scored its fifth straight monthly gain as supply fears top China lockdown. I think it's notable, Barry, that even though China, Shanghai is locked down and nobody's using gas and oil still went up last month. What happens when Shanghai comes back online?
Right. Yeah.
It just seems to me that there's still upwards pressure on oil. And, you know, Warren Buffett, his two biggest buys this year were Occidental Petroleum, and he continues to add to Chevron. He's not one for making a macro call on oil, but he certainly is buying oil stocks. And at the same time, it seems to me that if Europe announces their Russian oil embargo, maybe this week, late this week, maybe before the OPEC meeting, maybe next week, Germany is busy lining up substitute for oil. You know, there's a problem there. That pipeline, Poland has now switched away from Russia's pipeline to their pipeline, and now they're using their reserves, basically. And Germany is scrambling and making deals all over the place to replace the gas and oil that they get from Russia, mostly gas. So that just seems to me that you got continued pressure. And then I read this morning that the Department of Energy released its monthly oil production report, and it says that volumes, our output in the U.S. is falling. I thought it would be increasing, but it's falling. So that supply is the problem right now. You know, that even though the demand in China is way down, that price is holding pretty steady at about a little over $100 per barrel. Okay, then the last thing here, with the 10-year pushing up against 3% right now, we're at 2.99, mortgage rates may soon eclipse 6%. Wow. Not that long ago, it was half that. That's the highest level in over a decade. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back with a little bit of review on this earnings season. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It looks like that bear market rally is here. And it's getting a little vicious. The Dow right now is up 208 to 33,186. But the big pop I'm seeing here is in the NASDAQ, especially in the semiconductor stocks. Let's see, the S&P is up 32. That's 0.8%. The NASDAQ's now up 150. 1.2%. So, you know, I spent some time, Barry, Saturday morning looking at everything, weighing it all out in my mind, the earnings, the valuations, the technical patterns. We had a miserable week last week. It was really bad. And I finally came to the conclusion. I said, you know, it looks to me like this is the most oversold I've seen the market in a long, long time. So, we're getting a rally today.
Well, to sum it up, I mean, when I saw AMD's forward PE ratio at 20, basically, I think I shot a text over to you. I think, and you know, Google, for example, right? You know, not that we own that one, but trading at 20 times forward PE, you know, you're getting a better deal buying, you know, those two names than you are, say, the whole QQQ, right? Because their PE is even higher at the index level, and they're, you know, such a, you know, they're so correlated with the NASDAQ. It, you know, I don't know, just some of those numbers were, you know, very surprising compared to where we're used to seeing them. You know,
yeah, it's almost as if the fertilizer stocks are more expensive right now than AMD and some of the real high growth stocks. So there is some opportunity, I think, but you still have to be careful. All right. Well, okay. The other area that I watched last week, and I can't bring myself. I want to look at a couple here from China, but Alibaba. They're trying to put in a bottom to their market by, you know, talking like they're going to leave them alone to do their thing. But man, they have just come down so hard on those stocks. But Chinese ETFs last week were up about 10%. I'll just let others play that game, I suppose. Chinese electronic vehicle, of course, they have about three or four. NIO, Li, XPeng. They are all, their deliveries dive as COVID disruptions come to bear. Now, there's the other part of this China lockdown is the impact. We heard this from Apple, the impact it has on our companies with the supply chain. And that's not only did Apple make a big deal about the problems they're having getting parts and whatnot, and the factory workers and getting things built, but also Intel had a lot to say about the supply chain issues. And they also said that it's not going to get better anytime soon. So that's my only worry. Well, more than that, but that's my biggest worry with the semiconductor stocks. We'll see what happens this week. NVIDIA will report. They're kind of the kingpin. They're the most glamorous chip stock out there today. AMD will report. They're probably the second most glamorous chip stock. Broadcom will report this week. But here's I see a note from, let's see, who is this that put this out, and I kind of agree with it. Last week we saw really good reports from the cloud stocks. Well, Microsoft, I mean, that's basically what lifted Microsoft to produce those good earnings last week. They were one of the best reports of the week, and they were just cooing about the growth in the cloud. Well, the cloud is driven by semiconductors, and that should bode well for these chip companies this week. There's a good article on that in Seeking Alpha today, and they are naming NVIDIA, Marvell, AMD, and Broadcom, saying that they could benefit from the strong cloud results. So anyways, we'll see what happened there. Okay, it's always fun to watch Warren Buffett's comments. He's beyond a boomer, okay, you know, whatever we want to call Warren, but he's still the greatest investor of all time. He said, if you offered me all the world's Bitcoin for $25, I wouldn't take it. Well, I might for $25, you know. What the heck? What's it worth?
It
a couple
shot,
trillion?
Right? Yeah.
He does not like Bitcoin. Peter Thiel called Warren Buffett enemy number one of Bitcoin. Now, this guy's got a stronger word than a beyond a boomer. Peter Thiel calls him a sociopathic grandpa from Omaha. Well, that sociopathic grandpa from Omaha has made a heck of a lot of money.
He at least got two out of three right, right? Grandpa from Omaha.
Yeah, and I think that young investors would be well served to study how Warren Buffett invested long term in companies than trading, in and out on Robinhood, which he also had some choice words for Robinhood. That was interesting. He was talking about, well, over here you got Bitcoin, over here you have farmland, and you've got apartment houses, and you want me to invest in Bitcoin when we have all these great investments out there? And Charlie Munger, who's even more outspoken against Bitcoin, he says, in my life I try and avoid things that are stupid and evil and make me look bad in comparison to somebody else. And he says, Bitcoin does all three. He says it's stupid because it's very likely to go to zero. In the second place, it's evil because it undermines the Federal Reserve System that we desperately need to maintain the integrity and government control. And third, it makes us look foolish compared to the communist leader in China who banned Bitcoin. So anyways, always a lot of good quotes out of... Now, if he doesn't like Bitcoin, here's the new one. Bored Apes. You have any Bored Apes at home? The Bored Apes Yacht Club.
No, but I should. I was reading an article in Bloomberg this weekend about it. Basically
the
crashed
Apecoin.
The Ethereum network. Yeah.
The Apecoin. Okay. This was so hot over the weekend. It was in such high demand to get an Apecoin from the Bored Apes Yacht Club. These aren't even, these are non-fungible tokens, NFTs. It raised $320 million of cryptocurrency in the largest offering of its kind. The auction only accepted Apecoin. We need to get symbols on these different coins. We kind of do, but they're hard to look up.
And I think what we need to figure out, I mean, we keep calling them cryptocurrencies. In reality, what a lot of these things and tokens, what they really are, kind of, startups. It's just a new version of a startup. You just pay for the startup with, something other than, say, a dollar. I mean, you're making an investment into, a particular technology, right? And if the technology catches on, well, then the coin's going to be, go up in value, right? I mean, it's a pyramid scheme
in my book.
Yeah, it's really just a different way to invest in a startup. I don't know. I've looked into some of these different protocols and different reasons for some of these existing. And when I read about them, right, you're essentially reading almost like you're, reading a PPM for a new investment or new technology. I don't know.
Yep.
It's a little odd.
It's crazy. Okay, well, go get your ape coins there, and don't go ape over them. InnoViz Technologies, I call it the stock of the day, INVZ. They got a big deal with one of the world's largest vehicle makers. I don't think they've identified who it is, to become the direct LiDAR supplier across multiple brands. LiDAR is the technology that keeps you in your lane and for autonomous driving, etc. This stock is up, it's up 8.91%. It was up a lot more than that earlier. That's an Israel-based company. And don't forget, Intel is in that business. That's a crowded business, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't have much interest there. But this stock last week was up huge, and then it's up again today. INVZ, a little better than ApeCoin, but, you know. Okay, then the other one here that I've been watching, Next Decade. I think the squeeze, and I think the one that seems to be acceptable to the, you know, the climate change crowd is the liquid natural gas, LNG. And this Next Decade, they're getting approval, signed another deal for the Rio Grande LNG export project, which several companies are now getting in on that. Remember, LNG still is pretty much the dominant player there. Okay, we'll be back with the stocks jumping off the page today. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I said I was going to give an update on the earnings season. I forgot, so I'll do that now. Right now, we've got 55% of the companies that make up the S&P 500 in the books. 80% have beat their earnings estimates. 72% have beat their revenue estimates. This is about par, okay? This is kind of what usually happens during the earnings season. But it's good, all right? It's not bad. It's good. The estimated earnings growth rate for Q1 2022 is currently expected to be up 7.1% versus the same quarter last year. So when we began this quarter, it was only 4.5%. Now it's 7.1%. So the earnings picture for this quarter have improved. Okay, the results are coming in better than expected. And that's also leaking into the expectations for the full year 2022, and for next year, 2023. The revenue growth is expected to be 12.2%. So 55% of the companies have reported. And that's where we stand right now. We've got another 160 that will report earnings this week. And by the end of this week, we'll have about 90% of the companies in. So we're going to have a really good idea. But I would say that, you know, it will even improve more this week as these earnings come in. And my short-term target price for the S&P 500 is, you know, about 45 to 4600. So obviously, Barry, it looks a lot better here under 4200 than it did when we were at 4600.
Well, yeah, and I think it's important to go back and just look where the PE of, say, take an NVIDIA, right? You know, where that PE was, you know, at the beginning of the year. Heck, you can go, you know, beginning of February, and look where it is now. I mean, it's a, you know, I think it's 32 on a forward PE ratio, and that's, like you said, that's the kind of the one with the most shine, right, in terms of the chip maker. And I can't tell you the last time it was at a 32 PE ratio.
No.
So it's I mean, there are certain pieces, you know, of the market that I think certainly are oversold. I will say, when you look, you know, saw some of the manufacturing ISM index, PMI, the construction spending, all three of those came in pretty soft today, which makes sense, right? I mean, you were talking about the 30-year mortgage, where it's going, and so housing, right, you know, is going to be, you know, probably one of the first things that it's been cooling off. And that's going to, you know, those numbers are going to play into the Fed. You know, the Fed has those numbers in for their meeting tomorrow and the next day. So it'll be interesting to see how they play this. I think certainly probably the 75 basis point move is you know, I'd say highly unlikely. You never know, but you know, it just doesn't seem like that's going to happen given some of the data we've gotten over the last, you know, week or so.
Well, I'm definitely looking more on the buy side this week than I am on the sell side. So we'll see what happens. It'll be a fun week. The stock, just a couple that are jumping off the page here to me. I got to mention this Next Decade, which I think is going to be a decade of liquid natural gas. That symbol is NEXT. This is a cheap stock. It's a $6 stock. It's $762 million in market cap. It's also a micro-cap stock. But, you know, there was news on it today that they're getting in on this. It's mostly down there in the Houston area where they're building these terminals to pipe the liquid natural gas to load it on ships, which there's also big pressure on the ships that transport liquid natural gas. That shipping industry, and not only is there a tight squeeze on the number of ships that do liquid natural gas, there's also a pretty tight squeeze on the dry bulk carriers. And from what I understand, Russia absconded with most of the wheat from Ukraine. I'm not sure where the what part of the country that was being stored in. And I know that they also took a lot of their farming equipment, which apparently I heard that Ukraine was able to disable a lot of that farming equipment remote by remote control. So there's a lot of craziness out there in the world right now. Then the other one I would mention here, okay, there's one that I mentioned one last week that's getting into natural gas, but here's one that's getting into hydrogen along with Plug Power, but they have other products. Olin Corp, O-L-N, is a chemical company, and they also, it's a very diversified. They make ammo, too. Small ammunition, but they're aligning themselves with Plug Power in producing hydrogen on their chemical side of the business, and that seems to be another area that has promise, is fueling things with clean hydrogen. You know, that's the Plug Power and other stocks out there that are involved in that one.
Driving around with a bomb under the hood.
Well, yeah, that's the volatile hydrogen bomb in your tank.
That's the tricky part of it.
Okay, well, we're out of time. This should be a very interesting week. The Fed meeting starts tomorrow. OPEC is on Thursday. On Friday, we get the jobs report. I think the market is expecting a 50 basis point rise hike by the Fed, which would be their second hike this year. You've got a deeply oversold market, but the sentiment is wobbly right now. The market is, without question, it's very wobbly right here. We're hoping it will get its sea legs this week and look more towards the earnings side of the equation than the sentiment side of the equation. It's been my experience over the years that eventually earnings and fundamentals went out over sentiment, but we still got some rocky sentiment here, I think, to get through. And I think you have to be very, very particular in what you own right now and what you're looking at. And you have to be very vigilant, too, at the same time. So there's a lot going on right now in the market. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. You can get the newsletter that I sent out Friday, man. I put everything I had into it, as I usually do, and you can see what my current take on the market. I put my neck on the line, and you can see how we're doing, you know, versus the markets here this year. Get the 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.